Is physical fitness the forgotten key to ministry effectiveness? What on earth could that possibly mean for missionaries? We'll talk about that and more today on The Missions Show. Stay tuned. Well, greetings and welcome to The Missions Show, where we explore your hard questions on missions, theology, and practice to help goers think and thinkers go. I'm Alex Kochman, Director of Communications and Engagement with ABWE, joined for another whimsical wandering through the wild world of world missions with my good friend and partner in crime, Scott W. Dunford, pastor of Western Hills Church in San Mateo, California. And whether you're watching online or listening by podcast, however you've found this show, we appreciate you so much and we're glad you're here. If you're a podcast listener, leave a 5-star rating and a positive review. That'll help other people discover this content. And if you're one of our YouTube viewers as well, don't forget to like it, comment, tell us in the comments what some of your current fitness goals are, and smash the subscribe button and the bell to receive notifications every time there's new video content from ABWE. Scott, we're doing this. We're finally talking about your weight. Oh, I'm sorry. That's not what we're doing today. We are talking, though. Actually, for the record, even though I'm kind of, you know, stereotypically people see me as the fitness guy, you suggested this topic, did you not, my friend?
I did. I think it's a really important topic and one that I'm trying to take seriously. But it's also something I've struggled with. So I think I can speak to it from a pretty well-rounded perspective. And of course, we got you, Alex, as the paragon of health and fitness. You know, you are the RFK in the jeans, you know,
Scott, let's hope that your perspective on it is not too well-rounded.
It definitely is. Yes, I could prove it, but I don't want to gross out everybody.
Well, I do. Yes, please. Thank you for that. I do want to set this up, though. This is an important topic, frankly, one that used to be much more culturally appropriate to talk about. It wasn't that long ago that most major mission sending boards would have pretty rigorous physical standards of fitness for their missionaries. A lot of that has gone away, and sometimes for good reason. I think we want to recognize Christian liberty. We don't want to bind consciences in every area, but there used to historically be an understanding that especially pioneering missions in certain places, it does require a certain not just mental, not just spiritual, not just emotional aptitude, but also a particular level of fitness, of physical aptitude. So, Scott, just tell me a little bit before we really get into things here. What is on your heart that made you sense that this was important for us to talk about, not just in general as pastors, as guys who are trying to follow Christ and glorify God in our body, but particularly for the missions show?
I think I started thinking about it when we talked about preparation, and you start thinking about like guys like Hudson Taylor, who took the challenge of bringing his body into subjection very seriously so he could be physically prepared for the challenges of ministry. I think of missionaries that I've known, you know, guys like Jim Tanner, who you don't know, worked with New Tribes for many, many years, hiking all over the highlands of Papua New Guinea. And into his mid to late 70s, how do you do that if, you know, your knees are killing because you weigh too much and you can't get up the hill, right? Mm-hmm. And just like realizing there's a mental fog that comes when you are not staying fit. And if you want your brain to be effective into the mid-afternoon hours, you want to have the energy you need, not just to play with your grandkids one day, but to be able to do the hard work of mental ministry, of emotional ministry, of being able to sleep well at night so you're refreshed in the morning. All of those things come as a byproduct of physical fitness. And so the spiritual goals that I have for myself and my family and my ministry also coincide with physical goals. And yet so much of ministry works against that. And so we'll talk about that a little bit later.
It does. But before we really get into this, Scott, maybe if I could just ask you, give a pastoral word, because I think that maybe some of our listeners, maybe some of our viewers, depending on the season of life they're in, they're sensing, okay, they're about to start to bind consciences. They're about to raise the standard this high. And already I know that I want to turn this off because I don't conform to whatever standard that they're about to project. Maybe just a pastoral admonition, but also a word of encouragement to those who maybe they're approaching the topic of physical fitness, feeling insufficient, feeling like they're not enough, feeling like maybe they don't conform to some standard out there of physical beauty or perfection. Because I think we want to make clear what we're not trying to do is say that everybody has to be a Hudson Taylor sleeping on the ground, doing push-ups in his hut in order to stay fully fit and active. But what is it that we're trying to accomplish? And what would you say to somebody who's already wondering where we're going to go?
I mean, I think, you know, as I dropped my son off at boot camp and, you know, he's getting stronger and stronger. I saw him graduate from boot camp and then head into infantry training school, and just seeing the fitness and the level of rigor going into young men preparing for ministry and recognizing, hey, like, I am not there. I'm not 20 years old anymore. For me, I'm a few days away from being 50 years old. I used to play basketball all the time. I can't really do that anymore because I get hurt. But I don't want my life to end like constantly taking injections for, diabetes because I couldn't control my weight. You know, I don't want to not sleep well. And I think there's just a certain level of stewardship of my own body. So, you know, thankfully the lighting in here makes me look a lot better than I actually look in real life, you know? And, so I'm not saying that
Adrian kind of yonder child, great lighting setup.
I'm not saying, you know, this in any kind of way of having achieved, but recognizing like, hey, you know, like if you let things slide too far, it's really hard to get back. And if I want to have effective ministry, if I want to have effective ministry for longer than just into my early 50s, I need to take some of these things more seriously, because you get older, it gets harder. But also the consequences for neglecting your body become much more serious. And pretty soon you find yourself unable to do the things in ministry that you felt called by God to do. And I don't want that for any of our missionaries. I certainly don't want that for myself. And so there's a soberness to the way I'm approaching this, because I don't think that I've done a great job. And so hopefully maybe sharing some of the things you've done well, things I'm trying to learn. I'm learning from my kids who are way more fit than I am about how best to invest in ourselves so that we can be in the long haul of ministry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, already, Scott, I think whenever we approach this topic, people's minds go to Paul's words to Timothy, where he says that bodily training is of some value. But he says godliness is of value in every way. But there is this tendency to pit nature against grace or grace against nature, saying, see, it's not really about fitness. It is about godliness. And I think we can say yes and amen. Godliness, virtue, Christlikeness, those are primary level character qualifications for the missionary task. But there's a spiritual side of here, right, as well?
Yeah, I mean, I think so for sure. And I really would love you to wax on this. I think you've probably thought about it even more than I have. I've certainly seen you practice this. I mean, you and I've traveled together multiple times. I see you get up in the morning, work out instead of sleeping in, and doing those things I think are really valuable. And I know that I see that evidence in your life of discipline, not just in fitness, but in a lot of areas of life that I think are really important. But, you know, from my perspective, I definitely want you to weigh in on this, is like, one, we're not Gnostics. We don't just think only the spiritual matters. The physical and the spiritual definitely do interact with one another. And when Paul says things like, I buffet my body and bring to subjection, lest after I preach to others, I myself should be disqualified. I've clearly, he's talking about sexual immorality there. But I don't think that other physical disciplines would necessarily be, subtracted from that. I think other physical disciplines could also disqualify us from ministry, simply because if I have a massive heart attack, they don't take care of my body, I can't do the work of the ministry, right? Nice. Or if people look at me and think, I think he's a glutton, you know, and I think we use that term way too much. I don't think I'm a glutton. I don't think a lot of people who are overweight are necessarily gluttons. But if we do bring up that question in people's minds, does that hurt our ministry? And I think it does. And so those are just a couple things. I mean, also the fact that just Paul talking about the example of a soldier, the example of an athlete, shows a kind of rigor that I don't think we can just say it's just spiritual rigor, because I think the physical rigor enables us to have more of a spiritual rigor as well. But I'll turn that over to you, because I think that's something you probably thought about more than I have even.
I do think that there is a spiritual dimension to these things. It's funny, you mentioned that the question of gluttony is maybe overused right now. I don't know that that's true. Maybe in certain online spaces it's become that. But I do think in general, in the church, we talk about a lot of different categories of sin, of vice, as well as of virtue and holiness. And the topic of gluttony seems to be one that a lot of churches are afraid of. I think a lot of us, I'll pick on Baptists because I am one. You know, we think that Paul wasn't buffeting himself. He was buffeting himself, right? We are very good at seeing that. Oh, yeah, man. Yeah. We're very good at seeing the dimensions of scripture that have to do with celebration. Sure. And involving feasting and food into that. And certainly that's a big part of fellowship and life within the church and of ministry itself. A lot of those connections come over meals, and we can talk more about that soon. Mm-hmm. But I think that the rigors of the spiritual discipline of disciplining your body physically for spiritual ends as well as for physical ends, I think that gets lost in the process. And so for me, when I read the Apostle Paul saying to Timothy in 1 Timothy 4:8 that bodily training is of some value, what that tells me is that if I'm obeying scripture, then the outcome of that will be some degree of care and attention to how I maintain my physical aptitude. One of the images from antiquity that I think is such a compelling picture of piety, and when I say piety, most people think godliness. The ancient concept of piety included not only devotion to God or to the gods, but also what we would call today maybe filial piety, right? Devotion to your family, your loved ones. And it's connected overall with this idea of virtue or character in general. And one of those pictures that's so compelling to me is the famous image of Aeneas. At the beginning of the Aeneid, you see him leaving the burning ruins of Troy, carrying his crippled father Anchises on his back. And you see him with his son holding his hand. Usually his wife is in tow. There's a couple of different paintings that depict this scene. But when I think about what that represents, not just a hero in Greek myth, but of someone who, when push comes to shove, I can carry a family member of mine out of burning rubble. I can act in their interest when push comes to shove. I think that's an important part of godliness. If I'm being faithful to the Lord and the responsibility that he's given me for my family, for the members of my church even, that means sometimes doing things for them. It's not always as dramatic as rescuing them from a burning building. It could be as simple as helping a congregant move or helping an older lady in the church unload some bags or groceries or something like that. But ministry does require the ability to not just be acted upon by your environment, but to act and to have agency in the world. And so I think it is important. I think it's spiritual. There's a quote from J.C. Ryle, which he has many wonderful, compelling quotes. And if some of our listeners haven't read Thoughts for Young Men, would highly commend, especially young men, but even old men, to read that book in particular. I had my son read Thoughts for Young Men a little while back. He says this, he says, believe me, you cannot stand still in your souls. Habits of good or evil are daily strengthening in your hearts. And he's applying this to spiritual disciplines. He says every day you're either getting nearer to God or further away from him. But I think that applies to disciplines in general. You can't stand still. You're either gaining ground in all of your various disciplines or you're losing ground in each one of them. I think discipline in one area overflows into discipline in other areas. So it's true. Paul says bodily training is of some value, but godliness is of value in every single way. But the reason Paul uses these analogies of an athlete or a soldier is not because he's saying those things don't matter, only godliness matters. I think he's saying, no, there's some created common grace goodness in these things, and they give us a window into the type of disciplines that we should have spiritually. So I do think that if we're disciplined in our Bible reading, if we're disciplined in prayer, which who doesn't want to grow in those things, right? If we're disciplined in worship and regularly attending the gathering of the saints, then we should care about disciplines in other areas, not just physically. You know, we should care about being disciplined financially, right? I think that if somebody was coming in as a pastor to a church was maybe a candidate, or maybe somebody was a candidate for missionary service, but they're carrying six figures of debt. I think there's a conversation that somebody should have with that individual about how disciplined are you in your lifestyle with money. And I think the same thing can be said for food and fitness to some degree. That doesn't mean that everybody's going to have the body of Aeneas, of a Greek epic hero. But it does mean that discipline in one area is going to overflow into disciplines in other areas. So let's talk practically what that actually looks like, especially for people who are in ministry who, let's face it, probably don't have a lot of time. We'll do that and more when we return from our break. Hey, listeners, we know you believe in missions. Otherwise, you probably wouldn't be listening to or watching this show. But have you ever wondered what your next step with the Great Commission should be? Maybe the Lord is leading you to serve somewhere yourself. Maybe the Lord is calling you to be a part of sending someone from out of your own church. Well, wherever you are with missions, if you're ready to get serious and find what your next step is, ABWE's 24-hour demo event is for you. Now, it's great to listen to a podcast about missions, but there's nothing that beats the in-person fellowship that can only take place face-to-face, where you're alongside other people that are in your similar station of life, thinking and praying together about your next steps. So if you want to join us at our next event, they happen all throughout the year at our Harrisburg, Pennsylvania-based international headquarters. You can go to demo.abwe.org. Again, that's demo.abwe.org, and use the promo code podcast for a discount on your registration fee. So it takes all excuses away. What are you waiting for? Come find your next step with the Great Commission at demo.abwe.org, promo code podcast. Now back to the show. We're back, and we want to talk about what physical fitness looks like in ministry. Scott, we've talked about this a little bit in the past, but can you explain to us, you know, as a busy pastor, as a church revitalizer, why it's so hard for somebody who's in the trenches of ministry, which is relational, it's a lot of thought work, it's a lot of talking. Why is it hard to bring in physical fitness into that type of a lifestyle in ministry?
There's a couple of factors in that. I mean, one is just the fact of like a lot of weight loss is just simply you need to consume less calories than you're burning, right? That's just Everyone that I talk to that actually doesn't have a fad diet is just like, you got to burn more calories than you're consuming if you want to lose weight. And ministry is so much about food. And I don't think that's a bad thing. I think that biblically that's the way Jesus ministered. But when you're a pastor or a missionary, not only are you sitting down to break bread with people a lot if you're doing relational ministry well, but you were on the spot as to like, do you like my pie, pastor? You know, like, do you like the dish I made, right? Whereas most of the members get to sit there and pick and choose what they're going to eat. When you are the pastor or you're the missionary, and probably for missionaries, it's even more of a spotlight on you because they know you're a foreigner and they really want you to love their food. Like, If you tell someone culturally, I love this dish and it's my favorite, their eyes light up. When I tell people what my favorite Chinese dishes are, even here, you know, in a lot of, with expat Chinese here in America, man, they get so excited. They feel like they connected with me because I love their food. The problem is that when you do that a lot, right, and everyone's expecting you to eat their dishes, but then also combined with a sedentary lifestyle, which is a lot of ministry, like, unless you're really purposeful about it. So, you know, my typical day is opening God's word, reading, praying, looking at my computer, doing my Greek study, you know, doing some writing and some emails. And I mean, like, before I know it, the whole day's gone by and I haven't left my desk. Well, I mean, that's not great for circulation. I'm not getting steps in, you know, and then I go to a lunch and then I go to a dinner. Then I go to a Bible study with extra snacks provided. And then on top of that, if you're like me, a lot of guys and women struggle with stress eating, right? And so there's stress in ministry. And if you're not really disciplined about what you're eating, what do you do when the stress comes on? Well, you know, as a good Baptist, I don't get drunk, right? I don't go out and take drugs to medicate myself with stress, but what I could tend to do and have often tended to do is eat to offset the stress. Well, it's just it's a way of indulging your flesh to make yourself feel better. But the problem with that is everyone can kind of guess it doesn't feel better for very long. I mean, it feels great while you're downing a pint of you know, of chocolate peanut butter ice cream, which would be my favorite, or a big plate of noodles, you know, or extra butter on the popcorn. But then the next day when you wake up groggy, you don't feel good, and you don't feel like exercising because you weigh too much, or your knees hurt because you weigh too much, you feel like, oh, I just made a big mistake, but you've already made the mistake. So those are some of the things that I think come into the problem of ministry, yeah. right? Where, you know, it's so much about food. It's so much about sitting and studying or meeting with people while you're sitting that it's just really, really easy to go from, hey, I was in reasonably good shape to, oh no, like I'm in a very serious health situation if I don't change yeah. my ways really quickly.
Well, and I think that's all true. And I resonate with that. I mean, I have an office job most days, right? And so I resonate yeah. with a lot of what you're saying, Scott. And I can even think of strategies already that we can bring into that. Maybe instead of, and I think kneeling for prayer is a wonderful discipline, try a prayer walk, which by the way, can open some missional doors in your neighborhood, but try moving while you're either praying or contemplating a passage of scripture. I'll frequently find, I tend to do most of my sermon prep early in the morning. And yet once the coffee sets in, I can only sit still for so long. I get a little bit jittery and I have to do something. And I find that while I'm moving, while the blood is flowing, thoughts start to come to mind that wouldn't normally come. There's actually brain fog that comes the longer I'm sitting still, the longer I'm in that state. You know, I think it's objects in motion tend to want to stay in motion. Objects that are still have greater inertia. And so I do think that there's spillover from the physical back into the spiritual. I think that if you are generally keeping your mind clear by keeping your body functional, and this that's what we're talking about, right? We're not talking about everyone being able to run a 10K or everybody joining a weightlifting competition, but really we're just talking about keeping your body functional. You will be more clear thinking, I think. I think your heart will be more ready and prepared to step into difficult conversations and difficult places if you're not weighed down by the grogginess and the all of the effects that come from sedentary living, right? So what does this look like, Scott, maybe for you? And we can talk about what it looks like for younger men and women, but also for those that are maybe, Scott, you're a little more middle-aged. Maybe you're cresting the middle age and heading more into the later season, whatever is after that. You know, you can characterize that however you like, but how would you speak to those? And you have some elderly individuals in your congregation as well, Scott. So for maybe somebody who's on the second leg of their race in life, how would you counsel them with respect to these things? You know, obviously, it's hard to put new practices in place when you've lived a certain way for decades and decades.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not at the stage where I enjoy going to the gym. I know a lot of people do enjoy that. When I was young, I loved playing basketball and I played so much basketball that I thought I'll never, you know, get out of shape because I just love playing the game. But the problem is you get into your mid 30s and late 30s and you start hurting things and you start tearing muscles and you start breaking bones and you start pulling things that you didn't. And then what happens is like you haven't changed your diet and then you just spiral, right? And so for me, I found like one, I got to track stuff like pretty religiously. I use a little app called MyFitnessPal. It's free. Alex, I'd love to hear what you use because I'm sure you got cool stuff you use. But just the discipline of stepping on the scale, putting in my weight, keeping track of how much water I drink, that's been a big thing for me. Especially because I have a very small bladder and, but it helps me to make sure I get my water in because I wasn't doing that. And that's really difficult to stay healthy without good water. And then tracking my lifting. And so I found I have to get up really early in the morning. If I was waiting till the afternoon, I just wouldn't want to do it. So I've just had to get up really early in the morning. And then I found I hate doing cardio on the machines. So instead of walking for half an hour on the machine, I walk for a mile and a half to the gym. I do my weights. I walk an hour and a half back, or I'm sorry, a mile and a half back. So I'm getting 3 miles in a walking without having to do. So it's finding what works for me, you know. And I've also realized like if I don't do weights, then I'm not building strength, and I will lose strength. And as I get older, like you said, I don't want to lose strength. I want to be able to have as much as I can. So this is like what a middle-aged man does. I still shoot some free throws, but I just realized my days of like playing competitive full court basketball are over. Right. And it's sad to me because I love basketball so much, but I still do some shooting and, you know, I just have to, you know, stay enough that if I play an occasional game with my boys, I don't hurt something. As you get older, even though, I mean, I've seen other men, like I have a guy in my Bible study that I do who's in his 90s and he still stays very active and he does bowling, right? He's got a walker now. He broke his hip and he still bowls, you know, but that little bit of activity just keeps him going. Or I see other men, you know, like older men in the gym and they make it social, they make it fun. And they don't do the same heaviness of weights, but they do enough to keep themselves active and fit into their old age. And I think that's going to be key for me too, is like, I've got to maintain my strength, find some goals and just realize like, okay, you don't have to like this. You just got to do it. And I found something to motivate me. So for me, like thinking of my son in the military, that's my motivation right now. Right. You know, like thinking of wanting to get on the ground with my grandkids and not groan to get up after playing with them. Thinking of sleeping through the night without sleep apnea. Like, so that's a big goal of mine, to lose enough weight that I don't have this snoring issue that's keeping me up at night so I can wake up refreshed and ready to serve my family and my church. Those are some of my strategies. I've talked too long. Go ahead.
What are yours? That's good. For young men, Proverbs 20:29, the glory of young men is their strength. There is wisdom in stewarding your body and building strength when you have the greatest potential to add muscle mass. And Scott, particularly as you get older, resistance exercise is important. A lot of people, well, I run, I walk. Those are wonderful things, but there's really no replacement for, it doesn't have to be heavy lifts, but some level of resistance exercise for younger men in particular, and for people who are maybe just stepping into this, younger men, younger women as well. I'd say some important starting points. Know your body mass, know your body index. Know what percentage body fat you are. Know percentage-wise what your muscle mass is as well. You can get a pretty affordable scale that will calculate those things for you. And then within that, you'll be able to not only set goals, but you'll also be able to calculate what your basal metabolic rate is. In other words, how many calories do you burn just by existing? If you sat in a chair all day and did nothing, how many calories would that burn? For me, that's about 1,900 calories. So I know that if I want to lose weight, I need to consume less than that amount. If I want to gain either muscle mass or gain in, you know, doing a dirty bulk, I'm going to gain some fat along the way as well. But I know that my caloric intake needs to be above that. So paying attention to your nutrition is key. It's not just your lifting program. It's also nutrition. It's also sleep, some of the things that you mentioned. I'll tell you one app that's been so helpful for me. You mentioned you use MyFitnessPal. I've used that as well. Fitbod is an app that I love a lot, and it is an algorithmic workout generator. You put in your goals. You put in how much time you have available, maybe what equipment you have around you. You can say, hey, I want to work out once a week, or I want to work out 5 days a week, anywhere in between. A 10-minute session, a 2-hour session, doesn't matter. It'll work within your parameters, and it'll generate a workout for you that is just hard enough to challenge you, which is exactly what you need. It needs to be doable, but you need to be pushing yourself regularly. And I've had wonderful help with that app, including, and I think this would be true for busy pastors or for missionaries on the road, you might not always have access to a gym that's great. You may or may not have a home gym set up, but use something like that to develop a program for you to where even if all you can do is push-ups in your bedroom or air squats in the hotel bedroom that you're sleeping in, let something else generate that program for you so that it'll push you. Because what I find is without that outside accountability of a written program, I'm going to get bored very easily, actually. And as soon as I get a little bit of a sweat, a nice pump, I'll sort of give myself permission to slack off from that point on. And so there's a lot more that can be said about that. But I think the important thing to remember is that, again, to bring it to a conclusion as we wrap up and head into the overtime, I think in the overtime, we want to talk more about practical tips, practical helps, what I've done that works, what you're doing that's helping you as well, Scott. And then also talk about some of the rhetoric online for those of you that are online. There's a lot of talk about this in the Christian world. There's a lot of, ribbing that happens between men in particular. Is that helpful or not? We want to explore that as well. What role does that play in our motivation? But remember, the Apostle Paul, the missionary statesman of the New Testament, says that bodily training is of some value. And I would encourage each and every one of our viewers, our listeners, to ask themselves, what has God called me to do? And am I fit for the task spiritually in terms of my character, but also physically? If push comes to shove, if there's a situation in the life of our family or of our church where I need to act, and maybe it's the busy mom that needs to grab two or three kids in her arms and run off and do something, or maybe it's the husband who needs to be able to work on a project in the house or resurface the back deck or do something that involves some mechanical knowledge and as well as the mental discipline for those things. Are you fit for what God has called you to do? Because at the end of the day, there are different callings. There's different types of people, but what we want to do is be ready for the work that God has called us to do. So we're going to explore that and more on the premium episode, the bonus overtime show that we do exclusively for our subscribers. You can get access to that at missionsshow.com/premium. We are in the midst of, maybe by the time this drops, we'll be finished migrating to Patreon. And so very soon here, if you look for us on Patreon, you'll be able to find us there. That'll give you maybe a little bit of a cleaner listening and viewing experience than you can usually find on our site, the Missions Show website. Also, if you're an Apple subscriber, you can get access to that in the Apple Podcast app. For $9.99 per month, you're enabling us to bring more content to the missions community, and you're also getting access to these behind-the-scenes conversations, Scott, which we go off script, and I love it, and I think that's, frankly, some of our best content, and so we'd encourage everyone to join that and get access to our group chat as well, where you can connect with other like-minded Missions Show listeners and viewers and be encouraged and sharpened by others in that community. And so we're going to talk about this and more, but thank you for joining us for this initial conversation. Scott, we left a lot on the table. There's more to discuss here soon. But for now, from all of us here at ABWE, go and make disciples of all the nations.